content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Timber Press Guide to Vegetable Gardening in the Southeast. And this is by Ira Wallace. And we will start this program in March, Moving the Garden Outdoor. All over the South, folks are taking to their potting benches and potting on, transplanting their best little seedlings into larger pots from the sprouting flats. In most areas, we're talking about cool season crops. In the lower South, gardeners are already potting on hot weather seedlings to get that first crop finished before it's too hot and dry. Wherever you are, this is the time to get a head start on what's next. The lengthening days, spring rains, and warming temperatures make for fast growth. So finish up your spring cleaning. Let's get planting for the season ahead. And this is what's to do this month, which we're talking about now is March. Plan, prepare, and maintain. Chit your seed potatoes in flats for 2 weeks with bright indirect light. Then cut and heal them for 3 days before planting. Side dress garlic and onions with compost tea or foliar feed. They are about to really start to grow. Order more seed potatoes for late planting and refrigerate them until June. Prepare your beds, add compost till before the weeds get started. Cover with mulch or landscape fabric if you won't be planting anything soon. You'll be glad you did once the spring really gets going. Weed perennials and fertilize. Generously mulch them now, and you won't have to weed so much later. Early in the month, plant new blueberries, raspberries, and strawberries. Sow and plant. Plant potatoes when the weather becomes suitable, when daffodils are at full bloom or soil temperature is 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Direct sow radishes, turnips, carrots, beets, fava beans, kohlrabi, and leeks, and of course spinach. Pre-sprout it for up to a week. When the forsythia blooms, sow peas, cover them if necessary to protect from hard frost, and undercover sow more lettuce, scallions, and heat-tolerant broccoli. In flats, sow main crop tomatoes, insectary flowers, pot on peppers, and eggplant. Protect cabbage and broccoli from cold stress. Transplant outside. Sempose, early cabbage, collards, kale, kohlrabi, broccoli, and fall-sown storage onions singly. Spring-sown onion seedlings in clumps of 3 or 5. Cover prepared beds with black or clear plastic to pre-warm the soil for extra early tomatoes, peppers, and eggplant plantings. Cover crops, sow oats in raised beds that you won't need for at least 6 weeks, and divide and transplant rhubarb. In the lower South, finish plantings of cool season crops early in March. In the lower South, Also, later in the month, start planting warm season crops like cucumbers, beans, and tomatoes outside, but wait for the ground to get warmer for corn and peppers. Be prepared to water and cover plants even after the last frost date. And for fresh harvest, it has for this month is arugula, asparagus, Asian greens, beets, cabbage, and carrots, cilantro, collards, fresh herbs, kale, leaf celery, lettuce, mustard greens, radishes, and spinach. Check beets, carrots, and garlic, kohlrabi, and onions, potatoes, and rutabagas, sweet potatoes, turnips, and winter squash in storage. Adding perennials to your edible garden. Fruiting woody plants, cane berries such as raspberries and blackberries, and edible vines add a certain beauty and structure to a garden throughout the year. For a lovely living open work fence all around all year, prune your fruit trees into espaliers, which is flattened, branched, and usually fairly short shapes for easy harvesting and maintenance. I find pear trees are easier than apple and other fruits to train into these elegant structures. Kiwis, grapes, and other trellised vines add interest in winter long after fruit is eaten and leaves have fallen. Even in our sunny region, many gardeners with limited space are reluctant to allow space for fruit trees in their edible gardens for fear of shading the vegetable garden. New research at the University of Georgia trials from 2007 to 2011 is encouraging. Experiments with various degrees of shade found that with 30% shade, photosynthesis and general health of peppers increased and yields of usable peppers doubled. Yes, you can have your pears and peppers too. Our experience here at the Southern Exposure Trial Gardens also supports this conclusion. We find that peppers and tomatoes, as well as leafy greens, benefit from the partial shade created by dwarf, semi-dwarf, and espalier trees, as well as trestled grapes in late spring and summer. Speaking of perennials, remember that early spring is a great time to practice your plant propagation skills. Start new plants from cuttings. Divide and transplant overgrown rhubarb, thyme, oregano, tarragon, and other perennials in your garden. You can also start most of these from seeds, as well as many others like sorrel, rosemary, and chives. And this heading is Perennial Edibles for the Southeast. In every area of the Southeast, a variety of edible plants continue growing throughout the year. Although the plant may die back or even disappear above ground during the coldest or hottest months, the roots remain and the same plant springs back with vigorous growth. These are our perennial edibles. Many perennial edibles are most productive early in the season, a desirable quality as this is a time when fresh harvests can be scarce, and often their yields increase over the years. We use a variety of different techniques to keep our perennial edibles refreshed and bountiful, including appropriate pruning and a generous supply of nutrients. Here are a few perennial edibles to consider adding to your bounty. Asparagus. Flavorful spring asparagus spears are definitely worth the time it takes to get the plants established. Fresh asparagus is high in glutamates, the chemicals that make the umami flavor that makes mushrooms and steak taste delicious, but the levels diminish within a few hours of harvest. The tall, highly ornamental ferns provide shade just when the sun is strongest, perfect for giving your lettuce and leafy greens summer relief. Jerusalem artichokes. These Native American sunflower relatives make crisp, sweet roots and are so easy to grow that they're practically invasive. For best results, divide annually. And raspberries and blackberries. These luscious berries are closely related, but their growth habits are very different. Blackberries thrive throughout the Southeast, but raspberries are better suited to cooler mountain areas and the upper South. New blackberry varieties don't spread like their wild cousins, and there are even thornless types available. Strawberries. These are the first spring fruit for many gardeners. Pick the right strawberry varieties for your area and find a system to keep your beds refreshed, and you'll be rewarded with an extended harvest. Grapes. For ecologically minded gardeners in the Southeast, the best choice is always muscadine grapes, our native grape. There's nothing sweeter than popping one out of its skin straight into your mouth. You need a strong trellis, but these prolific vines won't disappoint. Gummy berries. These sour berries are a great source of vitamins A and E and have the highest lycopene content of any food. The big bushes are covered with bright red berries in the spring. There will be plenty for both you and your feathered friends. They're a great alternative to currants, which can introduce pine blister rust to our forests. Blueberries. Rabbit eye and southern high bush blueberries are much bigger and more productive in the south than their northern relatives. You may need to cover them to keep out the birds. Service berries. Beside the berries, which make wonderful jam, the bushes are attractive all year round with pretty flowers, colorful fall foliage, and interesting bark and form. Again, you will be competing with the birds. And perennial herbs. Rosemary, thyme, sage, tarragon, and lavender are all Mediterranean herbs that like our warm weather but need good drainage. Chives, lemon balm, and mint all appreciate a moister site. And our next title is Perennial Propagation. For those who want a lot of perennials quickly and cheaply, there are several options. I prefer starting from seed, but it does require a little extra patience. Starting from seed isn't appropriate for every perennial crop, since many will not come true from seed. These are varieties that only retain their character when grown from cuttings or divisions. Methods that actually clone the parent plant's genetics. Even when growing from seed is an option, gardeners preferring to quickly establish their own perennials will want to make divisions or cuttings. The simplest option is to make divisions from a friend's established bed, which gives you a big head start. Making cuttings can also be quicker than starting from seed, but it's a bit more of an art. The cuttings will need lots of coddling while they're growing roots. What you choose to do depends on what you're growing and also on your temperament. Making your own cuttings and divisions. Rather than buy expensive herbs from a nursery, you can do your own plant propagation at home. For herbs that don't grow true from seed, cuttings or divisions are your only option outside the nursery. Old-timers here in Virginia have a saying about divisions and cuttings. First they weep, then they creep, then they leap. The separating root clumps or making divisions is an effective, quick, and simple method for creating new plants. It's also an essential part of maintaining some perennials because it gives the roots needed breathing room to stay productive. Think of it like underground pruning. You'll need to have an established plant or a gardener friend who already has one. This is the method of choice for strawberries, raspberries, rhubarb, and many herbs. The best time to make divisions is just when the plants begin to grow in the spring, although many perennials can also be easily divided in the fall. The easiest way to divide is when the plants have suckers or runners that you can dig up and transplant elsewhere. Strawberries and raspberries are good examples of this. But for plants that grow in clumps, it's actually not that much more difficult. You'll dig up the whole root ball and pull it apart or cut it into clumps with a shovel to make several plants. This is the preferred method for rhubarb and chives. Simply return a smaller plant to the original location. Herbs that take over a large area like mint can be dug up and moved elsewhere in patches. Making cuttings is the method of choice for propagating your own kiwis, grapes, and blueberries. It's also an option for some of the bushier herbs like rosemary and sage. It simply involves snipping off a section of a vine or branch and getting it to form roots and be its own plant. There are two types of cuttings: early spring softwood cuttings and fall winter hardwood cuttings. Hardwood cuttings are taken after the leaves have fallen, while softwood cuttings are best done in early spring. Excuse me. Cuttings are a convenient method for growing plants from your winter prunings of grapes and kiwi vines. To make a hardwood cutting, cut a branch or vine into sections that have at least two buds. Plant each section in a pot or outdoors with the growing tip up so that at least one bud is underground and at least one is above ground. The underground bud will grow roots, but it can take some time for this to happen. Sometimes it takes months. Softwood cuttings are made in the early spring from tender new growth with a bit of older growth. Plant the 4 to 6 inch branch into loose soil and cross your fingers. You can improve their chances of rooting by covering the plant with a glass jar or plastic bag. Willow branch tea also promotes rootings, or you can purchase a root promoter from a nursery. Perennials to start from seed. Starting perennials from seed is another inexpensive choice that lets you get a lot of plants established quickly. but it's only a good choice for some plants, and it requires extra attention and patience. The perennials you can grow from seed include rhubarb, asparagus, alpine strawberries, and many herbs like thyme, sage, rosemary, winter savory, chives, garlic chives, and horehound. Many perennial herbs seeds are quite small and take a very long time to sprout. Don't give up. Keep the soil evenly moist and never damp. While they're sprouting, I often cover the flat or pots with a plastic bag to keep the moisture in. Herb seedlings may be variable, so do some selection as you pot on, or buy plants from a known cultivar. Planting out your perennials. Planting a perennial is a big commitment. Even with strawberries, they may be there for at least 3 years. I spend some time carefully thinking about where to place my perennials first, before I plant them. The edges of the garden and ends of beds are generally good choices. It's a big bother having to work around a patch of berries in the middle of the garden. And sometimes bad things happen when someone doesn't know that your dormant crop is there, waiting below the ground. What looks like empty soil may be harboring your treasured perennials. Too many times we have had overage garden help accidentally dig up a well-established perennial bed, thinking they were preparing fresh soil for planting, or weed out our treasured perennials just as they begin to sprout. Label your perennial beds well to avoid these unfortunate incidents. It's also important to think about how the light will change in the coming years. Are there small trees nearby that will soon shade out your perennial beds? Or will your perennials soon be shading important garden space? I try and keep my tall perennials like trellis grapes and cane berries on the north side of my vegetables and herbs. Think about the whole life cycle of your perennials and try to group perennials together to their benefit. For instance, asparagus lets light through all winter and spring. But those dense ferns create a lot of shade during the summer. Rhubarb struggles in our harsh summer sunshine. We plant a bed of rhubarb between grapes and asparagus, so the rhubarb gets plenty of light in the spring, but is well shaded during the summer. By the same token, I try to plant my leafy herbs to the east of vegetable beds so they can benefit from a late afternoon shade during the summer. Many perennials also make ideal landscape plants. Blueberries, bush cherries, and service berries don't just make tasty fruits. They're also gorgeous ornamentals. They come in lots of different shapes and sizes, so do a little research first, and you're sure to find the plant that fits your space. And now here's the section that says, let's make compost. Making your own compost is one of the best things you can do for your garden, and it's easy. Pick a dry, shady spot near a source of water and near your garden. All you need to make healthy compost is just 3 color-coded ingredients plus some water now and then. Browns. For carbon, such as leaves, pine needles, straw, or shredded paper. Greens. For nitrogen, such as kitchen scraps, grass clippings, and animal manures. Blacks, for beneficial organisms, such as soil, already finished compost, or worm casings. These speed up the composting process. At garden centers and online, you can find a wide assortment of manufactured compost bins, as well as plans for making your own. These systems can make composting easier if you're limited by disabilities or pesky neighborhood association rules. Start your pile with a 3 or 4 inch layer of coarse material, like old hay or straw or chopped corn stalks, to help with aeration and drainage. Next, add some kitchen and garden waste, such as leaves, coffee grounds, crushed eggshells, etc. Then add a layer of nitrogen-rich material, like chicken manure or fresh grass clippings. I like to add a layer of blacks, like soil, finished compost, or worm castings, after every other layer to add beneficial organisms that can speed up the process. This may not always be necessary because of the soil added on plant roots, but I like to keep the pile cooking and get the compost freshly compost finished quickly. Water and pile after each layer and every few days to keep everything evenly moist but never soggy. The pile should have a slight indentation in the center to make sure water doesn't run off. Your finished pile should be at least 3 by 3 feet to generate enough heat for the 160 degree Fahrenheit needed to kill weeds, seeds during composting. If your pile doesn't feel warm to the touch within a few days, add more nitrogen-rich materials or water to get it going. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138.